This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son promises today that he will not leave us orphaned. Help us to realize in the depths of our being that we belong to you. And help us always to look to you for our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I need to talk a little bit today about logic. It was the first subject I had to study in college because a philosophy major needs logic to understand philosophy. And one of the first things you learn is a conditional sentence. If P, then Q. If I live in Boynton Beach, then I live in Florida. What you learn secondarily is that the converse of that is not necessarily true. If P, then Q, you can't say then if Q, then P. Because you can't say if I live in Florida, then I live in Boynton Beach. I could live in Boca, Lake Worth, wherever else. Jesus gives us a conditional sentence today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If P, then Q. The difficulty that we can get into is we try to take the converse of that as true. If you keep my commandments, then you love me. It's not necessarily true. We can do all sorts of stuff. We can keep all sorts of rules, and there might not be a bit of love connected with it. This is the problem that Jesus had with the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, because they were just trying to fulfill the law, trying to just do stuff so that they could be justified. And we know there wasn't much love connected there. Paul, in that first reading today, is sort of taking a corollary approach to the same issue. He preaches on this hill that was probably the same place where Socrates had talked and given a speech 400 years before him. And Paul has walked around the city of Athens, and he sees they have this altar, and it says, "To an unknown God." And here, 400 years later, they are still looking upon this altar as sort of a lucky rabbit's foot, that as long as we've got this thing, we're okay. And so Paul even quotes their poets, Epimenides. It's not Paul's line. Epimenides was a great poet of Greek culture who said, "In him we live and move and have our being." So he gives them back their own words from their own poets. Or Aratus had these words that said that we too are his offspring. And he puts that back upon them to say, it's not just about this, but listen to the deeper meaning here. It's not just about having something. It's about entering into a relationship with a God who wishes to be on the journey with us. And that becomes what is so important for them and for us as well. Let's go back to the logic for a minute. If P, then Q, you can do the inverse of that, which is, if not Q, then not P. If I do not live in Florida, then I do not live in Boynton Beach. Well, let's take Jesus' statement. If you do not keep my commandments, then you do not love me. There is that part. There are some things we have to do that are necessary for us to love him. But that's not all. It's not just about the lucky rabbit's foot. It's not just about keeping the laws. It is about more than that. It is about a relationship that we have with a God who wants to bring us to all that we can be. He has this cool statement today: I will not leave you orphaned. You know, Jesus is getting ready to leave. This is part of his farewell discourse. And he knows that these men, these leaders, are the ones who are going to have to take over for him and his mission. And he's trying to get them to come along and to see what they are capable of doing in him. And so, I will not leave you orphans. I will be there for you. Now, if he's not leaving us orphaned, in some way we're going to have a parent. And in this case, the parent that is promised is the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, a word that can be translated many different ways: comforter, helper, advocate, parent. All these different ways in which this parent, this Holy Spirit, is going to help us. We usually think of the Holy Spirit as this nice white dove, don't we? Very peaceful. You know, our Celtic roots have a different way of symbolizing the Holy Spirit. You know who they symbolize the Holy Spirit to be? A wild goose. I think this is very much in tune with this gospel. Picture the Holy Spirit as a nagging mother, but with love. The mother who's not going to let things go because out of love she wants us to become that which we can become. I think God does that. I think God does that because God loves us enough to come up and nip us in the behind once in a while, because we need to move forward. We need to be willing to let God take us to that next level. Great columnist Irma Bombeck has that great story that she's famous for, where she says, "When I was growing up, I used to wish that I belonged to Johnny's family because he had the best parents. They let him eat whatever he wanted to. If he didn't want to go to school or study, he didn't have to. And on Sundays, he didn't have to go to church either. I thought he had the best parents." But then she says, "Then I grew up, and about the age of 30, I realized I had the best parents. Because I had to eat the foods that were good for me, and at age 30, I had a very healthy body. And because I studied, I had a good job, and I was doing what I loved to do. And because I had the habit of going to church, now I had this wonderful Christian community that supported me in good times and in bad." I think in many ways, that's what this wild goose nipping at us does for us, helping us to get off the dime and to do and to be in relationship with this God who loves us. If you want to put it in Memorial Day terms, if you've ever had any dealings with boot camp in the military, you know that one of the first things that drill sergeant is going to say is, "We are not teaching you to act on your own. We are teaching you to obey. So that when the difficult time comes out on the battlefield, you will not have to think, that you will have done this enough that you will just act in the best way possible." This is what our God is doing to us, this nagging God, because if we develop these spiritual habits, when the difficult time comes, we won't think about it. We will just turn to God for our strength. Wild goose of a God. If you don't like the goose analogy, how about, in the spirit of this weekend, an eagle? A mother eagle. Do you know how a mother eagle encourages her kids to leave the nest? She stops feeding them. Now all the teenagers are getting nervous in their seats right now. But this is an amazing thing that a mother eagle does. It's the same kind of an image of pushing us forward whether it's a nip in the behind or a little push, encouragement that the Holy Spirit does. I want to show you a little inspirational video about what a mother eagle does. And because the words might be difficult for you to read, I'll read them for you as they come up on the screen. Let's watch it. Here we go. Even eagles need a push. The push. The eagle gently coaxed her offspring toward the edge of the nest. Her heart quivered with conflicting emotions as she felt their resistance to her persistent nudging. Why does the thrill of soaring have to begin with the fear of falling? She thought. This ageless question was still unanswered for her. As in the tradition of the species, her nest was located high upon the shelf of a sheer rock face. Below, there was nothing but air to support the wings of each child. Is it possible that this time it will not work? She thought. Despite her fears, the eagle knew it was time. Her parental mission was all but complete. There remained one final task, the push. The eagle drew courage from an innate wisdom. Until her children discovered their wings, there was no purpose for their lives. Until they learned how to soar, they would fail to understand the privilege it was to have been born an eagle. The push was the greatest gift she had to offer. It was her supreme act of love. And so, one by one, she pushed them. And they flew. Push. Sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need to give it. It can be the greatest gift you ever give. It will change your life forever. I think this is the Holy Spirit. Barbara Brown Taylor, Episcopal priest and author, talks about the Holy Spirit this way. When Jesus let go of his last breath, willingly, we believe, for love of us, that breath hovered in the air in front of him for a moment, and then it was set loose on earth. It was such a pungent breath, so full of passion, so full of life, that it did not simply dissipate as so many breaths do. It grew in strength and in volume until it was a mighty wind which God sent spinning through an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. God wanted to make sure that Jesus' friends were the inheritors of Jesus' breath. And it worked. We who are no longer orphans, may it work for us as well. Where the God nips us, Brother God, pushes us. May we see that this relationship is one of love that enables us to be all that we can be. Amen.